This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The knowledge, there's fitna also in shuhrah, meaning being famous. You know, people trying to always try to, like especially now, everyone wants to be a YouTuber, someone who's famous and everybody recognizes and knows. So Surah Al-Kahf was revealed, and it was revealed in a time to keep the Muslims firm, strong, to give them, to console them, also to give them guidance, and in times of hardships and difficulties, in times of trials and tribulations, how to deal with some of these trials and tribulations. So the virtues of it are tremendous. The virtues of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah, most of us already know. There's a hadith from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qara'a Surah Al-Kahf." Whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf, Yawm al-Jum'ah, on Jum'ah, on Friday, أَضَاءَ لَهُ مِنَ النُّورِ مَا بَيْنَ الْجُمُعَتَيْنِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the light will be emitted for him between the two Jum'ah, between the two Jum'ah. And so some of the scholars have mentioned this particular hadith as being marfu', I mean it goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's in Al-Bayhaqi and Hakim. And some others have mentioned it's mawquf. What is mawquf? Mawquf is something that is something that the companion says, and that's something that's that doesn't go directly to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Allah knows the stronger opinion is that there are also many ahadith relating to that similar meaning that would raise it up to the level that it would be acceptable, inshallah. So, what are some of the benefits that we can extract in the seerah, in the lessons from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this time? First is, of course, one thing that always, one of the things that always causes us to have anxiety. What is anxiety? Anxiety is alham. And al-humum, al-ham, anxiety, and al-hazan is sadness, that something happened in the past. Al-ham is something that may be in the future, humum. And this is something that is that might happen or might not happen. And so in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a lesson. But in times of trials and tribulations, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. Sometimes you're thinking, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You know, Russia attacks Ukraine, and America is trying to stop them, and these are like superpowers, and everybody's saying, tomorrow there's going to be nuclear war. Right? Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. And another thing happens, and everybody says, that's the end of the world. 2000 happens, and that's the end of the world. And so there are so many things, but we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows the future. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikun, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked him questions that they received from the rabbis of Medina. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, come to me tomorrow, I'll tell you. In hopes that Allah would reveal, as usual, reveal the answer to their questions. And what was their questions? Tell us about the story of those young men, that amazing story about the young men. What's their affair? And tell us about that man that traversed the east and the west, meaning he conquered the east and the west. Who is he? And then tell us also about Ar-Ruh, the soul, the reality of the soul. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come to me tomorrow and I'll tell you. But what did he forget? He forgot to say inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him a very, very difficult lesson. Why? When they came back, he didn't have an answer. Allah did not reveal anything to him. Allah did not reveal anything to him. The next day, nothing. And to the point where the mushrikun are making fun of the Prophet ﷺ. And what were these questions? What were these questions? These questions were questions that they were testing the Prophet ﷺ, whether he was a prophet or messenger of God or not. Right? And if he's not answering, what does that mean? What are they saying? Like, no, you're not truthful. Right? So it's very hard upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so it didn't come a week and nothing yet. And to the point where the mushrikun were making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, and he says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِذَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't ever. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ, meaning do not, don't ever. There's emphasis here. Don't ever say you're going to do something tomorrow, except by the will of Allah. I mean, except that you say, inshaAllah. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. And remember your Lord when you forget. Remember your Lord when you forget. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He teaches us also lessons that tomorrow you never know what's going to happen. And also, what's the other lesson that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is learning? That we also, the lesson of humbleness, that it isn't up to you. It isn't up to you, O Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't reveal whenever He wants. Like, it's not up to you when you're going to get the revelation. Yes, He's the Prophet of God, the Messenger of God. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise and Allah is almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching him a lesson. It's not up to you. You want revelation to come to you at any time? No. We reveal whenever we want to. And that's why you have to humble yourself. That's why this is a lesson. There's a lesson of humbleness in humility over and over again in the surah, in the story of Surah Al-Kahf. Why? Because, you know, if you want to be strong, if you want to be a strong Muslim, you want to be a strong Muslim, you want to be firm in times of trials and tribulations. When the difficulties come, you have to be humble and sincere. If you're not humble and sincere, you're not going to pass the test. You have to be humble and you have to be sincere. And how can you increase your humbleness and sincerity? By devoting yourself to the worship of Allah and doing so in times of secret, in times in which people don't see you. I mentioned before that our faith and our iman is like a tree. It's like a tree, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us the parable of kalimatan tayyibatan asluha thabit wa far'uha fis samaa. Like, this is la ilaha illallah, the faith and iman. And la ilaha illallah is like a tree. Asluha, the foundation is firm. Wa far'uha fis samaa. And the branches, it branches out into the heavens. So if you want your faith to be firm, you have to have a firm foundation. And you know, when you see a tree, you only see the tree and you don't see the foundation, you don't see the roots. Even when you look at a skyscraper, you see those tall buildings? If you look at those tall buildings, you only see the top. If the wind blows, it doesn't topple. Why doesn't it topple? Because the foundation is deep. You have to understand the amount of digging. Sometimes, as tall as it is high, you have to go almost as deep into the ground. And the foundation has to be firm and strong so it doesn't topple and doesn't come over. And that's why before they build a building, you'll see that the ground that they dig, the hole, is huge and very, very deep. Very, very deep in order to build those tall towers and the skyscrapers. And the trees, you see the trees going all the way on the top, but you don't see the bottom. The bottom is firm, but you don't see it. So how can you strengthen those roots? By doing good deeds when people are not watching you, when people are not looking at you, when you're alone by yourself. That's how you increase these roots and strengthen your faith so that you can have a strong foundation, and when the winds blow, it will not topple. And so, also, in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about so many things. And amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, some of the benefits that we can extract from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about those who take others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. Those who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And to warn those who say that Allah has taken for Himself an offspring. An offspring. What did the Arabs used to say? Anybody know what the Arabs used to say when it comes to the children of Allah? Who are the children of Allah, according to the Arabs? The Arabs during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, banat. Who are banat? They said the angels, the malaika, they are the daughters of Allah. Not only sons. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. And if you really reflect upon that, like Allah, how can you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters when you yourselves, like they themselves, they hate daughters. They don't want daughters, right? And they look down upon people who only have daughters. And then they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. Right? And of course the Jews or the Christians, they say that Prophet Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ. They themselves don't have any knowledge, and they and their forefathers, neither did their forefathers have any knowledge. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِيَّ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. Tremendous is the word that comes, meaning how terrible is that word that comes from there, how false it is. It's not something that's small, to be taken lightly. The words that come out from their mouths, يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They say not except, they make up nothing except for lies. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse also, you know, during these times in Mecca. Many of the verses affirm the tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's another thing that we learn with, that we learn from. In times of trials and tribulations, just like during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions used to love to sit with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek knowledge. And so knowledge is very, very important, but it also requires a tremendous amount of patience. It requires a tremendous amount of patience. If a person is not patient, then you will not be able to acquire knowledge. And so in Surah Al-Kahf, and this is the story of Prophet Musa and the story of Al-Khadir, teaches us also to do what? Teaches us to be firm, be patient, and be serious when it comes to seeking knowledge. And if you do so in times of trials and tribulations, you're going to need that knowledge. You're going to need to be firm and strong, because there's going to be a lot of distractions. Like right now, you might say this is the time in which there's a lot of knowledge. It's very easily accessible, but there's so much widespread ignorance. But how do you know there's so much ignorance? Like sometimes there's some posts and some things that people say on the internet. Some of the basics of Islam, people don't even know anymore. What do I mean by that? Like some of the basics of Islam, things that everyone before would just like, it would be common sense, they would know. Like I'm dressing up as a man or a man dressing up as a woman. Like everybody knows that that's not something that is praiseworthy, right? But nowadays, there are some people who say that that's acceptable, to the point where there are masajids for gay people only. Like in some areas, in Toronto, in California, in many areas, there are just masajids like for those. You know, this is a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet people are proud of it. It's like getting together, hey, like everybody come together, you know, this is a masjid where we say it's okay to drink alcohol. Like all the everyone who's, you know, who's okay with alcohol, come pray together, we'll pray over here together. Or everyone who's okay with zina, you come to, let's join together and pray together. And form a masjid for all of those who are, you know, like we can have boyfriends and girlfriends, we don't think it's haram. Right? Or let's have a masjid where all the sisters come together and they don't have to wear hijab. Who believe that. Like these are things that are sinful, but people are so, they're not even saying that it's wrong, they're proud of it. To the point where they are gathering and coming together to say that Islam accepts it. And that's worse than committing a sin. Then the committing a sin is bad enough, bad, but it's worse to say that that sin is halal. To believe that a sin is halal is greater in sin than to commit the sin itself and to believe it's still haram. Why? Because if you believe, for example, that if you believe that khamr, alcohol is haram, is halal, it's permissible. Like it's really like alcohol in general is permissible, and every, you know, or you don't have to pray five times a day. These are the basics that everyone, every Muslim knows, that if you reject those things, it takes you outside the fold of Islam, because these are items and knowledge that's common, that's ma'loom fi deen bil-daruha, that in, it's just common. Common knowledge in Islam. So another thing that we learn, of course, in times of trials and tribulations, what are some things you worry about? You know, like the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when they are steadfast, when they're firm, sometimes they're persecuted. And so what happens? What's one thing that can happen to a person? And they could be killed. You could be killed. A person can be killed. Just like Yasir and Sumayya, they were martyred. And in times of trials and tribulations, times of difficulties, and especially Akhir Zaman, at the end of time, there will be يَكْثُرُ فِي الْحَرْجِ الْحَرْجِ الْقَتْلِ, that الْحَرْجِ, the killing of each other, will be widespread to the point where the person who is killing doesn't even know why he's killing, and the person who is being killed does not know why he was killed. He doesn't even know the reason why. There's just so much widespread killing. So in times in which you are seeing so many people being killed, you might be worried about yourself being killed also. And if you're no longer alive, what are you concerned about? Like what are some of the things that you're thinking about if you're no longer there? What are you worried about besides yourself? Your children, right? Your children, who's going to take care of your children? Who's going to take care of your wives? Who are you going to take care of your family? How is your family going to be taken care of? And we learn, what do we learn? We learn that if you are pious and you are righteous, inshaAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you devote yourself to the worship of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your children. Allah will provide for your children, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them also. And that's why the best thing you can do for your children is to teach them, to keep them firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you yourself be firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the people, the when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks you know, about the reason why, you know, during the time of, during the journey of Prophet Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the orphans, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf at the end, فَأَرَدْنَا أَيُبْدِيلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرَ مِنْهُ زَكَاةَ وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمَةً. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, protects you when you're pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you, but He protects you. And at the same time also, sometimes, you know, if you don't know what's going to happen in the future, some of the trials and tribulations that befall upon you, you may think it's bad, but you have to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if something bad were to happen to you, let's say you get killed, then know that if you are firm and obedient to Allah, Allah will take care of your children. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ, as for the jidar, as for the wall, that Al-Qadir help make firm again. Remember, it was about to fall, and he straightened it. فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ. This belonged to two orphans in Fil Medina. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. And under it there was treasures. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا. Their father was very, very pious. So you might say, well, what happened to the mother? Allah knows best. But Allah says that the father was pious. Because of the piety of the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the children and protected the wealth of the children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that when they grow up, they will still have the money and treasures, and Allah will protect them. So, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And so that's the lesson also in times of trials and tribulations. And so when the companions are reading this, they know that, you know, when you do something for the sake of Allah, even when somebody is harmed and martyred in the path of Allah, don't worry and don't be, you know, don't have such great anxiety and concern and worry about your children too much of what's going to happen to them when you're no longer there. Because you have to put your trust in Allah. And how do you put your trust in Allah? By doing the best that you can when they're alive, by taking care of them and putting them in the best position to be successful and learn. But even if you're gone, if you are obedient to Allah, if you're salih, if you're pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your children. So in times of trials and tribulations, those are some things that we may be concerned about and we may be worried about. But inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control over all things. And so also in the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, you have Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So in times of trials and tribulations, like during the time of the companions, they have a lot of people, a lot of enemies of Islam. And these enemies of Islam are terrible people. Have no mercy, nothing. They torture, they cause problems, destruction, they cause mischief. But know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of bringing someone to help. And those who will establish the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to the point where even the likes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send a ruler, no matter how powerful the enemy is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send someone more powerful that can stop their advancement and stop their harm. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they were killing all and they were causing mischief for the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Dhul Qarnayn. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps, gives them the capacity and the ability to build a wall in a time in which people were using just rocks and stones, but he was able to use iron and steel and molten iron to make a wall where they could not break for they were unable to traverse such a huge wall that they can't go over and they can't go through. And so know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all capable. And also what's one thing that the mushrikun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the mushrikun, and He speaks about their arrogance. And who are the people who are arrogant? In the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're the Meccans. The Meccans were arrogant. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a parable. What's the parable? It's a parable of the men of the two gardens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. There are some amongst the people of Mecca. The Meccans were very, very wealthy. The likes of Al-Walid ibn Mughira, he had gardens of grape, he had orchard gardens that stretch between Mecca and Ta'if. And they had summer homes in Ta'if because it was cooler. And sometimes the rich people, they would go. And so they were extremely wealthy. They were people who were extremely wealthy. And they thought that what did they think? They themselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this parable of the men of the two, the man with the two gardens and his companion. Who is reading this? Who is hearing this? It's the Meccans. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the Meccans and those of the people of the dunya that will come later on, they will have the people of the same mindset. What are the Meccans? What do they think? The Meccans think that they are in position, they are the best of people. Right? They think they're very arrogant. Like intrinsically they think that, you know what, who we are as the people of the Quraysh and people of Mecca, the guardians and custodians of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, and some of them reject, right? You know, when the Prophet tells them to believe in the Day of Judgment and to believe in the hereafter, they reject it and they say, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. We don't even think that the hour will come. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And if I were to be returned to my Lord, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. So what's their evidence? They say, if I were to return to my Lord, I would get something even better. So what are they trying to say? Like, the fact that I'm rich right now, the fact that I'm Qurashi and I'm rich right now is an indication that Allah loves me. Like, if the Day of Judgment is true, that means if what Allah has given me here right now, Look at the massive amount of wealth that I have. And I have the servants that take, you know, I have servants that serve me. I have people who take, you know, who I order around. I have workers under my authority. If I were to be returned to my Lord after I die, I will get even better than this. Because look what He's given me already. So this is their evidence and this is their proof. And what they don't realize is this is a test for them. And so that's why Allah tells us about the companion of this man. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Have you rejected the one who created you from dust? Remember, humble yourself. Look how arrogant you are. You, your origin was from dust. ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. And then something that then you came from a drop of sperm. I mean, a drop of sperm is something that if it gets on you, you think it's dirty. And it's like, ew, you don't want that on you. It's like something that's dirty. And you came from that. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. And it is He who from the dirt and from this despised drop, you came from that, you became a man. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Like, look at your origins. In other words, don't be arrogant and think that you have everything just because Allah has given you all of this, that Allah loves you. If you deny and reject Allah and you deny and reject the Day of Judgment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take, even in this world, He can take it away from you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away from you, no one else can give you anything. At one moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it away from you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He does at the end, you know, when this man loses everything, when He does and He takes everything away from you, هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقَّ. That's when you know the true authority is with Allah alone. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا. He is the best who can reward. And He is the best that you can hope for in terms of your outcome. So that's hope. What is hope here? This hope is, you know, when you look at the disbelievers, extremely wealthy, you look at the rich people around you and you say, look, how can they have all of this and I don't have anything? I don't have anything in this world. I hardly have anything compared to what they have. Yet they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a believer has faith. And he realizes that Allah is the best who can reward. There's no one who can reward better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا. And the end result will be best for you. The end result. They may have it right now. You may think that they have it right now. But in the end, they will have nothing. That this dunya is not worth anything. This dunya is not worth anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is He instilling this belief in the believers? Because if you attach yourself to the dunya, you're going to fail the test. If you attach yourself to the dunya, you're going to fail the test. If you attach yourself to the hereafter, it will give you strength. Weakness is in attaching yourself to this dunya. You will be weak. And you will fall, because one of the biggest tests, what is the biggest trial? What is the biggest test that humanity will face? The Dajjal, right? And if you read Surah Al-Kahf, and if you read Surah Al-Kahf, you memorize the first 10 verses, and inshaAllah, you will be protected from the trials and tribulations of the Dajjal. Why? Because every single test that the Dajjal will bring, the solution to it is in Surah Al-Kahf. The solution to it. And if this is the biggest test, You might say, well, most people since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never faced the trials and tribulations of the Dajjal. We never see the Dajjal, and only the generation that will live during that time will actually see a Dajjal, right? Only a few. But why are we asked to ask for protection from the Dajjal, even in our prayers, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our time? Because if you can pass the greatest trial, if you know how to pass the greatest trial, then anything else will be less than that. Anything else will be less than that. So if you prepare yourself by learning from the lessons of Surah Al-Kahf. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this at a time in which the companions were facing one of the most difficult tests. And that's why if you want to learn the seerah and benefit from it, learn from what they went through, because whatever they went through something similar will happen to us and to the Muslim Ummah. There will be a stage, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيْعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. So when you look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see that whatever happened to the companions will also happen to us. And whatever they did to pass those tests, if we follow their example, inshaAllah, we will also pass it. And that's why it's very, very important also when you're learning the seerah. The Qur'an is in more need of the seerah than the seerah actually is in need of the Qur'an in terms of how to understand it. Because if you read the Qur'an, there are many verses that you will not truly understand unless you learn where it was revealed and how it was revealed and in what circumstances it was revealed, so that you can understand the Qur'an. And where do you get that from? You get that from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why we're trying to combine them. When these verses were revealed, it was revealed during this time. Why? So that to strengthen the Muslims, to teach them lessons, so that when we're put in that particular situation, that inshaAllah we will also be able to pass the trials and tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. Another thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the way of calling people, of da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us also a form of da'wah. How do you make da'wah? When you speak to other people, you have to speak to them. And sometimes, because people have gone so far away from the deen of Allah, that you have to bring them back to the beginning. And what is the beginning? You have to bring them back to their beginning. And that's why, what's the first five verses revealed? اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. Recite in the name of your Lord who created. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقَ. Created mankind from a clot that's clinging. You know, like a morsel that clings. And so something that clings, that is in the womb. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is returning them to what? Do they believe in Allah? Most of them believe in Allah, but sometimes you have to return them back. Just like especially now, you have so many people who are atheists. They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you have to sometimes go back all the way to the beginning and start over from where they came from, and look at themselves as babies and look at how they are, because a lot of times they're not thinking about some of those things. And so that's why they're lost. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us one of the best ways of reminding people is to remind them of their who created them, their origin, where they came from. Where they came from the very beginning. And you might say, well, you know, they don't believe in God and they're going to say this, but the thing is you want to plant the seed. You want to plant the seed and you never know what's gonna happen later on. Like in fact, you know, there's a Muslim brother actually that I recently met, and he went to the same high school that I went to, and we were on the same bus. You know, we were on the same bus. And I really never spoke to, you know, to them about Islam or anything like that. I just, you know, I was just practicing, trying my very best to memorize the Quran, even when we were on the bus, on the way to school. And he said to me, I used to think, look at this guy, what's this guy, this Vietnamese guy, his weird Vietnamese guy, like always like mumbling and stuff like that. I never knew why, I never knew what kind of person he really was. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on, actually he became Muslim. Like he became Muslim. And actually, I don't know where, he lives in around the area still, I think a little further south, and I didn't even know when I met him. He actually recognized me first. I invited him here, but I think he doesn't live too, he lives a little bit far from this area. But I remember, like, those people who I used to speak to, I never spoke to them about, like, none of them accepted Islam. They were just teenagers, right? A lot of them. But a group of people on the bus that I was on, he told me that, yeah, a lot of them accepted Islam. A lot of them, a whole group of them actually accepted Islam. But you never know. And they did was sometimes when they would ask me what I was doing, then I would tell them what I was doing. And hey, what are you reading? I would tell them, and then I would find verses that were like, you know, even if I were reading a different verse, this is what I'm reading. I would mention other verses about Jesus, about, you know, Islam, and I was just reading the translation. I didn't know Arabic at all whatsoever. Right, I didn't even know Arabic, and these were just simple verses like this. Like I remember one of the verses I just read to them is the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. You know, Surah Al-Baqarah. I remember, and the only reason why I was reading it because they used to make fun of me. You know, they used to not really like make fun of you, like they're like, "What are you doing, man? This guy, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, that's a perfect opportunity. Oh, what am I doing? Let me tell you what I'm doing." Right? And so I'm memorizing the Quran. You want to know what it is? Let me tell you what I'm reading right now. And so everyone goes, "Ooh." And they're like, "Oh, we don't want to hear that stuff." And they're like turning on their music and everything. You know, in those days they have the big boombox on the shoulder. I don't know if you guys remember the old days in the 80s, 90s. Right, in the 80s, 90s, people were used to, and they used to carry that onto the bus. And I remember one verse that I read, "Ya ayyuhan nasu, ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum." O people, ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum, walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O people, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, so that you may have taqwa, so that you may have God consciousness. And like this is, you might think it's just a regular verse, but these are powerful verses. That the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do is what? Allah says the first command in the Qur'an is what? What's the first command? This is the first command. In terms of, you know, in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? The first order for humanity, first command for mankind, right? The first command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhan nasu, ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum." Oh, why should you worship your Lord? Why? Oh mankind, worship your Lord. Why? Because He created you. Because you know, people nowadays like, why? Why should I worship Him? Why should you worship Him? You wouldn't be here if it weren't for Him. He created you. Alladhi khalaqakum. He's the one who created you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And those before you also, your forefathers. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may be pious and righteous. He wants you to be pious and righteous and God conscious. He created you. And so the lesson that we learn also in Surah Al-Kahf, in trials and times of trials and tribulations, what's the best way to teach people when people are speaking about Islam? You want to speak to me about Islam? First, ask them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's the core of all the message. But then they might say, why? Why should I worship Him? Because everybody wants their own freedom, right? Because He created you. And it's like, what are you talking about? I came from this evolution, right? And then you speak to them about the oneness of Allah and who Allah is. And then Allah, then give them the Qur'an. Then give them the Qur'an, because the Qur'an will call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you don't even know which verse, some of the simplest verses, people accept Islam because of just a verse that you don't even think about. You know, everyone who has accepted Islam, if you ask them, there's always a profound story. And sometimes it's just one small aspect of Islam. You don't have to go through so many complicated things that brings that person, and then faith and iman enters their heart and they become Muslims. And so, but one of the best things you can do is to call people to the worship of Allah and remind them that He created them. He is the one who created them, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created them. And so in Surah Al-Kahf, we learn that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Muslims to speak to the non-Muslims, and at the same time giving the non-Muslims all the evidence and the proofs and so forth. And so at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, I remember we said you have to be firm, you have to be strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, if you can have this, then you can be firm on your deen. And what were we speaking about at the beginning? We're speaking about sincerity, and we're speaking about the worship of Allah and doing it for the sake of Allah. Doing acts in secret to increase your iman. Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. Say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad, I am but a human just like you. But what makes me different? يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. But remember that the only thing is that Allah revealed to me, أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ, that your Lord, أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ, that your Lord is one God, is one, إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then let him do righteous deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and let him not associate anything with his Lord in his worship. Which means you have to be sincere in your worship. And so this is a very, very powerful verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us and teaches us and keeps us firm, that in the end, if you want to be strong, you want to be like, you know, follow the examples of the likes of Bilal, you want to follow the examples of the likes of Khabbab ibn Arat, and of course the examples of the likes of Abu Bakr, and you want to be in Jannah inshaAllah with them, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then do righteous deeds. Do righteous deeds. And what are righteous deeds? That which is correct and that which is most sincere. And do not associate in your worship with Allah anyone. Meaning sincerity, doing righteous deeds and sincerity. In times of trials and tribulations and hardships and difficulties, learn from the lessons of Surah Al-Kahf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this in a time in which the Muslims were facing the most difficult test. What is the most difficult test? The test in their deen. That if you believe in Allah, if you don't leave Islam, if you don't leave Islam, we're going to kill you. If you don't leave Islam, we're going to torture you. If you don't leave Islam, we're going to harm your family. If you don't leave Islam, you're not going to have any money. You're going to be poor. If you don't leave Islam, you know, you better take care. How are you going to take care of your children? How are you going to take care of your children? And so you'll be put, there'll be people who will be put in that situation. And when will that happen? It happens in every single, you know, throughout history. But there will come a time in which the pinnacle, the greatest test will come, and that will be the Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qara'a Surat al-Kahf, whoever recites Surat al-Kahf, kama unzilat kanat lahu nurun yawm al-qiyamah, he will have light on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a light on the day of judgment." And woman qara ashra ayat, and whoever, in another narration, hafiz ashra ayat min akhiriha, in akhir surah al-kahf, and then another narration at the beginning of it, and thumma kharaja ad-dajjal lam yadurru, the dajjal will not harm him. And woman hafiz ashra ayat min awwal surah al-kahf usima min fitnati Ad-Dajjal, he will be protected from the trials and tribulations of the Dajjal. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a light also. That means when you're reading, and when you're reading Surah Al-Kahf, what do you need in order for you to understand it properly? You need to learn the seerah of why this is revealed. Look at when it was revealed and in which circumstances. And so you learn the asbab al-nuzul. You learn the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the story of the people of Al-Kahf, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a way out, and they're about to go to Al-Habasha. And so the lessons in Surah Al-Kahf are extremely profound and extremely beneficial, and that's why it's a surah that we should try our very best to recite every single Jum'ah. And of course, the day of Jum'ah, we know that it's the Eid for us. خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, the best day that the sun has ever risen on is the day of Jum'ah. وَفِيهِ خُلِقَ Adam was created on Friday. وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and in it he will enter Jannah. وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا, and in it he was also expelled from it. And وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ, and the day of judgment will not happen except for on Jum'ah, on the day of Jum'ah. So the next time when Friday comes, I want you to think of how significant it is, of how significant. We just take it for granted sometimes, but it's a very, very significant day. It's a significant day. Who made it significant? Who raised its status, and who gave us Jum'ah? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can be reminded and strengthen our faith. Jum'ah is a blessing for us. Friday is a blessing for us. And there are rituals that we do, just like on Eid, you know, we say the takbirat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. But on Jum'ah, what do? Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. Surah Al-Kahf is what you should be reading. That's your recitation for Jum'ah, Eid. On Eid day, and you can start from the night, inshaAllah. So don't forget, and then don't forget the lessons and the seerah that are connected to it, that are attached to it. Every single lesson, it's connected to an incident in the seerah to help you understand and to help you also benefit more, and to help you also learn the benefits of it. And so you'll be more motivated to continue to practice it, to learn it. So Surah Al-Kahf is a very, very important surah. And I want to stop here and because it's part of the Sirah, and we wanted to mention it's also very, very important to, you know, to learn the Sirah, the Quran, and learn it from the Sirah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, when we get to a little bit further, you know, when we continue, we start continuing. Anytime there are significant, of course, all the verses are extremely significant. But anytime there are certain surahs that were revealed in connection to some of the incidents in surah in the seerah, we want to connect them so that when we're reading the Quran, it brings us back and it connects us with some of the incidents in the surah. So when was this revealed? Before the hijrah to Al-Habasha. And what was happening in Mecca before the hijrah? And that's where all the persecution and the difficulties were so, it was so difficult that the Prophet ﷺ wanted the Muslims to have a place where they can worship Allah freely. He was compassionate towards them. He felt for them. And that's why he wanted them to have a place where they can worship Allah freely without worrying about their lives and their family and the hardships. And so in Surah Al-Kahf, there are many lessons that we can extract from the seerah and learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to connect them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong our lives in His obedience and to protect us and our families. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us the highest level in paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth as it is the truth and help us to hold on to it and apply it and to show us falsehood as it is falsehood and keep us away from it. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Questions? Wa alaikum
salam. Are you familiar with the narrations stating the merits of memorizing the first 10 ayahs of the Quran? Are there also narrations, some narrations with regards to the memorization of the last 10 ayahs?
Yes, there are two. Well, there's, and the thing is, if you look at the first 10 and last 10, if you look at this, the actual topic, it's the exact same thing. The first 10, it matches. The first verse and the last verse is Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the last 10 verses also, they're sort of like a book cover. It covers, and it's a summary of everything that's going to happen, and then it summarizes it again. Yeah, so you'll see. So there are narrations first and narrations second at the last. So the best thing to do is do both, inshallah, and read it every single day. Yes, the whole surah is even better, inshallah. The whole surah. But sometimes, why first 10 only? Because when you see the Dajjal, the Prophet ﷺ said, recite the first 10 verses when you see him, because you can't, don't have time to recite the whole surah. So the first 10 is a summary already of what's going to be speaking, what the lessons are. And if we had time to go through the surah, inshallah, then we would see why, inshallah. Wallah. Oh, yeah. Time for adhan, inshallah. Something like that.